And in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for the KFSK News Department. This is Borough Business. It's our call-in show. You're welcome to call in with a question or comment, 772-3808. And I'm joined in the studio today by Borough Assembly members Bob Lynn and Jeff Mucci. Thank you both for coming in today.
You're welcome.
We're going to talk about tonight's agenda for the Assembly meeting and take your questions and comments. And dive right in. Before we get to that, though, I wanted to ask Bob, you mentioned you were just up at the meeting of the Alaska Municipal League. Was that last week that you attended?
Yeah, I was. I along with the mayor and Taylor, were there at the Municipal League meeting looking at things, you know, what we might see in the next year for funding and so forth. And there was quite a few breakout sessions, some related to whether or not we can tax internet sales and a lot of different topics like that. I spent most of my time, and what I'll talk to is my own views from this, is that looking at finances and looking at what we might expect in the next year or so, at least for the Petersburg Borough. We had the director of the Treasury there, Commissioner of the Revenue is what the actual title is, talking specifically about where we are and where we're going. The current administration leaves, which surprised me, with a balanced budget, essentially. But then he got to talking about where we needed to go and what was going to happen from here. One of the things that caught me was is that in order to break even with the state budget as it currently is, without any infrastructure projects, takes $72 plus change per barrel of oil in order to break even. He was also telling us that when it fluctuates, like it does daily, if you watch the crude oil prices, the state has to have on tap approximately $2 billion because he said if the price of oil, barrel of oil fluctuates from, say, 52 to 72, it takes $2 billion more money to fund it. His long-term take was is that we probably, from a municipality standpoint, we probably won't be seeing a lot of infrastructure types of things being done. And that said, I came back with the ideas that we need to be look at what we're doing and be pretty frugal at least over the next 3-4 years because I don't see much changes from everything I heard with the state budget. And as a matter of fact, I think that there's some things we have coming we currently get are probably at risk of not getting in the future, so we'll have to do some backstopping here, I think.
I think it's safe to say to expect cuts from in the state government. I think the governor-elect Dunleavy ran on that platform, so I think that's probably pretty safe assumption.
I think that's a safe assumption. His particular platform and what was talked about, I don't have any strong feeling one way or another with where he might go or what he might do. That just hasn't risen to the surface yet that I see.
And those oil prices you were mentioning, I think we were up near that break-even amount earlier, but we've dropped back down since then. So.
Yep, and when I looked at it, yes, we're down even today, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, and what was the mood up there? Somber with that kind of message?
Absolutely somber.
Yeah.
From almost all the municipalities. I think with this, with the new leadership in there, that the municipalities are probably not high on their priority list, so to speak, as compared to the former governor. That's my take.
Okay. Jeff, any thoughts on that discussion? Or
nope.
As you
listen
to it? But
I imagine that we'll prepare our budget like we've done in the past, not expecting much from the state. I've already turned in a list of things I'd like to see reduced and cut, and I'm hoping we can get similar lists from the rest of the Assembly. We talk about balancing the budget, but that doesn't really give us much discretionary looking at the budget about things we'd like to see done differently. And so we'll get there. I haven't really thought that I'd get much help from the state in the last several years anyway, and I kind of thought we were more of an autonomous. We like the windfalls that show up, but we still have to budget for, you know, rainy days. And I think with the ballot measure passing, with the entitlements to people over 65, I think we have to sort out where we're going to come up with that discrepancy in the budget. So the voters voted on that, and overwhelmingly, and we'll come up with some cuts to offset those revenue losses.
Is it still a while before the Assembly sees a budget proposal, though? It's usually not till late spring.
That's what she was talking about, but I think we've talked about it at the Assembly level that I'd like to see it sooner. While we're here in the wintertime, I mean, it can be. We could have the discussion in February, March, and April, but I think this is the time of the year that we need to. That most of us will be here throughout the year. If it we get to final deliberations in April or May, it doesn't really give us time to really kind of get into the meat and potatoes of the budget. So, I think Jody is getting the budget document ready and for us to look at. And you know, I think any time is a good time to start talking about it.
Okay. All right, 772-3808 is our phone number if you'd like to call in with a question or comment. We're going to talk about the agenda for tonight's meeting, the rewrite of the code on zoning subdivisions. Construction is back up for public hearing, but not a vote tonight, so this is another chance for people to sound off and give their opinion on this pretty extensive overhaul of what's allowed on land use and code for development in Petersburg and the whole borough, in fact. Couple things to note about this. As written, the code would extend platting authority, that's the layout of subdivisions, throughout the entire borough, and it would create a whole bunch of new zoning classifications for the old city of Petersburg, Service Area 1. Those are some of the biggest changes I see in there. Guys, have you heard from people on the streets about this or delved further into a pretty extensive rewrite? Any thoughts on development code at this point, Bob?
Yeah, I've been through it. I gave quite a few comments of my own to it. It is an extensive rewrite, but one of the things I'd have to say is that it pretty much grandfathers everything that's existing right now, and so what we're talking about is, you know, what changes might be made from here on out, particularly in Service Area 1. And looking at that code, the ideas that are coming forward into the Assembly now from the comments and so forth, each of them will be handled individually and with a thumbs-up, thumbs-down type of thing, a vote on it. But along with that, there's a number in there now, I think, that are policy calls. You know, you could go one way or another, but it's essentially a policy call that you're going to have to make on some of those when we finally get to the point of voting. I would encourage anybody to get their comments in that have suggested changes and so forth.
Give you time to, or the borough staff to research it and give you guys some idea of what that change would actually mean.
Yeah, we've had people at every meeting giving suggestions or things they'd like to see changed. And, that's just the way the process is working. And I imagine we'll have people there tonight just kind of giving us input on what they'd like to see changed.
Okay. And that final vote is December 17th, that meeting. That's when you'll be actually dealing with those changes themselves, whether it's a long list or not.
Yeah, and I suspect it'll be a long list and a long meeting.
Okay. All right, well, I have that to look forward to. We are also hearing you guys are going to schedule to vote on a dock work right outside the Harbor Master's office. This is where the old fuel holding tank used to be, an old dock, $188,500 to Tamaco, one of four companies to bid on that work. You guys comfortable with awarding that to Tamaco at this point? Bob or Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. When you look at that dock down there, it needs to be replaced. And looking at the bids on that, they go quite significantly from where it was to about three times that amount. And so looking at it, I'm quite satisfied with what we got, and it's a local employment too.
Paid for out of cash from the harbor, I imagine.
Yep.
Okay. Any thoughts on that, Jeff? Or?
No, I think it needs to get done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And we'll also hear a possible first vote on the first reading of the cruise ship head tax, sales tax clarification ordinance. We've heard a little bit of discussion on this, and you guys tabled this at your last meeting. Local company, Scott Hersey, who takes people out, pays the sales tax and pays a lot more than the head tax and would rather just pay the head tax if he could. Has he swayed you or convinced you to make this different than this change? Or, Jeff, what are your thoughts after some of the discussion and also the visitor industry forum that happened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the visitor industry forum didn't really touch much on the sales tax or marine passenger fee, but we met with Scott at the city offices last week, and you know, I think it's important to remember that the local businesses, they're not paying that sales tax. They're collecting that sales tax for the city, and that goes to the city. An outfit like Scott's would be exempt from the marine passenger fee since he's under 20 passengers, so he is not going to be paying that passenger fee anyway. We'll see how it goes tonight. It might just get tabled or postponed till a later time, but I think, you know, we have a sales tax fee in place. We have the marine passenger fee in place, and maybe the thing to do is just wait until 2019 rolls around and see if we're getting all kinds of pushback from folks or who don't understand it. We already have the we already have the rules in place. Maybe it's just time to just let it go and see how things go.
Bob?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's a lot of complexities here. The more I study it, the less I know. And it's probably best just to leave it set and let it work its way through at least for a season.
And then in that direction, keep collecting sales tax from companies, cruise ship companies, for it sounded like there was a complex formula they used to figure out how much sales tax they charge for each ticket they sell, for how much time is spent in Petersburg Borough. And some companies are paying, not all companies. And
yeah, you know, we have the sales tax structure in place, and we just need to make sure that we're collecting that sales tax. If we're not, we need to address that. Marine passenger fee, it's going to be in effect in 2019, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, this is a brand new ordinance that hasn't been done before in Petersburg, and so there's always going to be little bumps in the road that we get to smooth out in the future, but we'll just see how it goes. You know, anything we can do to capture more revenue any place we can, I think it's a good thing for the city or the borough.
Okay. Well, that passenger fee is going to collect some money, not a whole bunch. It's going to be a small amount each year. But did you hear some ideas in that visitor industry forum for what it should go toward? I think public bathrooms is the one that comes up repeatedly.
Yep.
Is that the top priority?
Well, that is a big priority.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that can be dealt with. If you go online and look at portable restrooms, I mean, they have really nice facilities down south that have four or five units in them with hand washing stations. They're on a trailer that can be moved in and out of town if we're not using them. I think the restroom issue is a big one. It needs to get taken care of. And we just can't have restrooms in town. We have to have somebody who's going to make sure they're clean and ready to go. And I've always said from day one that I think the cruise ship industry needs to help us defray some of those costs, because those costs wouldn't be there without them here. So they need to be part of the conversation as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Bob, any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, and I also think that we need some kind of facilities for the public too. What they are and how you do it and so forth, that's yet to be determined. But I do think that needs to be fixed.
Okay.
I would imagine that we'll have another public meeting sometime, if not in December, probably January, just to at least, you know, there were lots of questions and concerns that were brought up at that meeting, and I think the community needs to have at least a few answers or, you know, see where we're headed.
Yeah, well, it was a question I think that were brought up that circulated a little bit about mixing zones and being able to dump waste and stuff from cruise ships on the inside waters, but that's an issue that locally we can't, you know, solve, but we certainly could take it, you know, to the state level. And it probably does need to be addressed.
Okay. I think we have a caller. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, hey, Joe. This is Scott Hersey.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah, I just want to clarify a little bit what you said about what I wasn't saying I didn't want to pay the sales tax. I was saying that if local businesses are paying the sales tax, then why give outside companies, big companies, a break if they're paying a smaller fee than the locals? So, that's what I was just saying. I mean, if they pay the head tax and they would be exempt, I mean, yeah, I would much rather do that myself. But
you'd rather pay the head tax if you had a choice.
Yeah, well, if I had a choice, but that's not what I'm saying, really. It's
okay.
We could collect more if we'd, you know, it always been the businesses that started their trips here would pay the sales tax. And so, I'm all for, we need to get some revenue from the people coming into town. So, I just didn't like the fact that if some big companies coming in were saying we want to pay the head tax and we don't have to pay sales tax, and that just didn't, that doesn't seem fair to local companies. So anyway.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. So possible second forum on visitor industry sometime in the winter.
Yep.
Keep you posted on that. Also, a discussion topic tonight, the Petro-Marine Exchange on South Nordic Drive. Is there anything that's happened on that? Anything moving on it? Or?
Well, we have a letter from Petro with an offer. You know, I had it on the agenda just as a heads up that I plan to have it on the December 3rd assembly meeting, with the idea being that the assembly can talk about it and start out if they want to go forward with it, and then if they do want to go forward with it, possibly go into an executive session at the end of that meeting to give direction to the city manager to negotiate with Petro to kind of sort out the details that we would probably be telling the city manager during the executive session. That's okay. That's the only reason it's on there.
Okay. And Petro's laid out a couple different options, too. There's a $120,000 difference between the appraised value of the land in question. They are offering to give that money or have the borough use that money for a mooring dolphin off the end of that dock, or just take it from future lease payments of theirs. Do you like either of those options?
I'm still studying on them, the pros and the cons of all this, so I don't have a strong view one way or another yet.
Does it make sense to do this land swap?
To me, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been championing it since I've been on the assembly here. I imagine one of the first things that would have to happen is, you know, a new appraisal on both properties. I mean, the Petro property and the borough's property. I would imagine that's something that would need to happen. The mooring buoy, or the dolphin at the end of the Petro thing, that meets some needs for the community. I mean, we get all kinds of static from the commercial fishing fleet about the cruise ships industry using the drive-down dock. Well, the drive-down dock was initially partially funded by tourism industry. So that's just part of the deal. And if we were able to put a dolphin at the south end of the Petro dock that would let the cruise ships tie up further south, it would still leave the face of the Petro dock open so that Petro could still continue to do business as they want to do. I mean, they're a good neighbor for Petersburg. They do a lot of donating to the community, and they're a good business partner, and I think we should do what we can to both help Petro and to both help the commercial fleet and the tourism industry. I think it's kind of a... Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, the Petro dock is on lease to them, and it seems to me that then they come back and allow the tour ships to tie up there out of graciousness, and there, regardless of how this goes, there needs to be something done there, I think, to be able to better handle the cruise ships.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Jeff, you mentioned there's another communication item or letter from, did you say, John Hogue?
Sure. John Hogue and Don Koenig have sent us a letter requesting us to kind of look at our election, how we decide who's going to be running for what offices. Their idea was to have it done under two different seats or something like that. I don't really expect to spend a lot of time talking about it tonight, but it'll probably be an agenda item maybe on the December 3rd meeting. But I've talked to John a couple times in the last couple days, and they have some different ideas about how they'd like to see things done, and I guess the assembly will kind of sort it out.
Okay. Anything else we missed from tonight's agenda or borough business that we need to cover?
Not that I know of.
Not that I can think
of. Okay, well, thank you both for coming in. We'll hear more from the whole assembly or the people who are in town tonight, 6 o'clock. Borough Assembly Chambers broadcast live on KFSK. Street Pete Music is coming up next.